The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I want to talk to Tara Logan Buckley, the clinical psychologist, because having a serious conversation with a loved one can be difficult when it is on foot of something serious. Like, for example, if you see signs in a parent or a grandparent that perhaps they may need to give up on some activities because of their age. Tara, I'm very conscious of being sensitive here and not being accused of ageism. But I mean, where do you start if you fear somebody might not be able to just keep going like the way they used to?
Sure. And I think, you know, this is a really sensitive topic. You know, I think it touches an awful lot of people. Obviously, you discussed ageism there. But I suppose one of the realities is that we are living longer. And one of the implications of living longer is that some people do get, for example, dementia that comes with that. I suppose, so one of the very first things I kind of want to say to people is that when we start to see maybe people getting some cognitive decline, I think we always think the worst. And I think the person experiencing that kind of maybe cognitive decline or some of the symptoms that mimic it as well, always think the worst. The very first thing I want to say is that actually there can be other conditions that mimic dementia and things like that. So I think that's really, really important to say. So first of all, it could be like vitamin B12 deficiency. There are certain infections, builds of fluid in the brain. So I always say to someone, before you kind of jump to any kind of conclusions, it's really important that you go and get a medical and speak to your GP about these things. Now, how do you do that with someone that's probably really afraid or that mightn't even be noticing these things are going on? So I suppose one of the things I always say to everyone is you need to be really compassionate, kind and supportive when you're going to have these conversations with somebody. You kind of need to help to remind them that actually, you know, memory issues don't always point towards dementia. You need to be able to kind of, I suppose, validate their fears and be like, yeah, I can really understand you. And I also think as well, keeping a diary of events is really important so that you can kind of say, well, look, you know, on such a day, I noticed this, another day, I noticed that. And also, you've said these things to me yourself. And I think a really important thing is that we break it down into smaller little pieces. So maybe smaller symptoms, smaller little warning signs. And we then go to the GP with everything that we have in a really compassionate way. And then we say, look, these are kind of things that I've noticed. This has been going on for this person. Can we go and get tests done to see what's happening? Because there are ways actually of recognizing it and kind of slowing it down as well. For example, we can change diet, we can change lifestyle habits, and it does slow things down. I think what happens is a fear comes in and a lot of people leave it and leave it and leave it maybe when things are maybe just gone a little bit too far.
Because I was going to ask about that, about keeping some sort of record. In a way, it kind of feels a little dishonest, like you're almost spying on the loved one, you know, taking these notes. But at the same time, and you see it kind of in work environments all the time, if somebody is kind of called up about their behavior, the very first thing they'll say is, yeah, what behavior? Give me examples. And when you're on the spot, you can never think of an example.
That's it. And I think for something like this, it's really important. And I know you might feel like you're spying on the person, and it's someone obviously you're very, you care about and you love them very much. But the more evidence that you have and the more examples that you can give to a GP or to a professional or to the person themselves, might be that actual realization, actually, okay, you know, I was noticing this myself, but I wasn't too sure was it actually accurate. And if we do have someone, for example, that's early onset dementia, they mightn't remember this, particularly if the memory loss is there. So they won't be able to recall these events themselves. So it's really important that someone's there, that we are giving a true representation. The way I like to look at it is actually that we're giving this person the best possible chance to find out actually what's wrong, because it actually mightn't be dementia at all.
Do you need to be conscious about who is the person who has the conversation? That there's somebody who's kind of good at managing this type of thing, that they're not necessarily kind of confrontational or adversarial. And might there even be merit on occasion on kind of outsourcing the conversation, being very vague about it until you get that doctor's appointment and let the doctor do the dirty work?
I think it's so individual. So I think, you know, look, there's always personality clashes, and we've always got people who maybe go into that drive of being afraid mode. Whereas for this, you need someone to take a step back, someone who's really kind, really supportive, really considerate in their communication style. Now, I know the problem is that when we get worried about someone, that even though we have all those beautiful characteristics and traits, that mightn't come across. So it has to be someone who can, in these situations, just come across as really compassionate and supportive. And if you kind of feel, well, actually, you know, like, you know, my nana or my dad or my mom, you don't really listen to what I say anyway. Actually, they only ever listen to what the doctor says. then it might be the case that actually go to the GP, you do raise these concerns and set up an appointment and then let the GP to have those conversations with them. That's very normal as well.
What if the person doesn't want to hear it? No, not buying it. You're all out to get me. I'm not listening. I get up and walk away.
And you know what? That can be something that can happen as well, particularly because one of the kind of warning signs that we see can be kind of like change in mood and personality. They can get more easily upset and things like that as well. And also they might withdraw from people. That's also one of the kind of the warning signs. So it is really, really hard. And I suppose the thing about that is that if that is the case and that's what you're kind of met with, then I would be going down the professional side. You know, if the family have tried to have a conversation, if you try to kind of track the kind of events and things that you've noticed and it's just dismissal. And the thing is, that can be very common. It's extremely scary for someone to think, actually, am I declining? Am I not going to remember my family? Am I not going to remember who I am? So sometimes I always think, having that empathy, how would it feel for me to be in that person's shoes? I'm sure I'd be terrified. I'd be dismissing it because I don't want to even imagine those things because they're so scary. So sometimes it is about having to use external kind of intervention if it kind of goes down that path.
And to bring it back to kind of something you said at the start, how important is it that we're kind of honest about these things and about the reality of aging? Because, you know, when all of the speculation started about Biden, there was no shortage of kind of editorials and things and columnists, writing pieces for newspapers suggesting we were all guilty of ageism. How dare we question his competency? But I mean, the reality is, you know, I don't know what the age is, but when you cross a certain threshold, you've got to do medical tests before they let you drive a car, let alone have the nuclear control codes.
Like, I think if we put it down, we can say ageism as much as we want, okay? However, there is stark reality. So in Ireland at the moment, there's about 64,000 people living with dementia. And the reality of it is, by 2045, they reckon that's going to increase up to 150,000. So whether we want to call it ageism or not, it's a reality because people are living longer, and the longer we live is a risk factor for dementia. So I think it's all about, these have to be open conversations. I feel it's kind of the same with death in other countries and cultures. Death is spoken about from a very young age. It's very open. It's a part of life and it's a process of life. Here in Ireland, I don't think we're as open about it. A lot of people don't. And I think it's the same with this. Whereas it is a reality. It is something that we all might be faced with. It's something that a loved one might experience. And I do think we need to kind of get rid of the stigma and the stereotype attached to that and have these open and honest conversations. The same with conversations about death. We need to have those. Asking someone, what would you like for your send-off, I think is a really important. And we tend to stay away from that. I think it's quite a cultural thing here in Ireland. But we need to move into actually the stats show us actually that this is something that's impacting. And it's going to actually have more of an impact as obviously we go on.
Tara Logan Buckley, clinical psychologist, thank you very much for joining me.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.